on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Jordan, and I'm very excited to be your host for today's very exciting episode. In the past couple of weeks, the collective came together and decided that we're going to take a break from our current show format and try something new. That's why today we'll be doing a roundtable discussion between our collective members about the UBC AMS elections that just recently passed. As well, we'll be highlighting some brand new music for you guys to enjoy. So let's get started with our first song of the episode. Here's one of my favorite songs right now, Simulation Swarm by Big Thief. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Simulation Swarm off of Big Thief's brand new album, Dragon New Warm Mountain, I Believe in You. Big Thief, comprised of Adrian Lanker, Buck Meek, Max Olerschick, and James Krivchenia can be best described as an experimental folk rock group that refuses to be bounded in any capacity. This album, created across four different studios across the United States, is a testament to the band's collective journey and all the questions that arise on their way. Best is said by Lanker, maybe there's not even any true answers, but we're just along the journey asking these questions together. Anyway, let's get into the show. I have the pleasure to be joined by Richard, Katie, and Sarah. Everyone say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jordan.
Hello.
Perfect. Glad that you guys are here. So before we get into our topic, let's just do a little, well, not really an intro, but just a refresher on, you know, how's everyone doing? How's your school going? So I'll go to Richard first. How you doing?
Thanks, Jordan. I'm doing pretty good. I'm just doing the daily grind of school. The weather's been pretty nice lately, so I've been going outside, taking walks. So that's been a really nice break from all the hectic stuff that's been going on.
Oh yeah, you went anywhere interesting? Go on some, like, you know, anything, any specific walk that was like a highlight?
No, definitely not anywhere interesting. I'm kind of boring sometimes, so just like walk just around UBC campus, you know, go to like Rose Garden on all those super local attractions.
I'm here for the Rose Garden. That's always pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rose Garden is super pretty. That is like a highlight in itself, but respect.
Yeah, I really enjoy when all the prom kids from high school go and they take pictures in their nice dresses in the Rose Garden. You're like,
oh, wow. Yeah, definitely.
Good job. You did it.
Oh, is that like the prom photo spot in, like, near here?
Holy, I'm pretty sure it is. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I think it's like the go-to. It's a really nice place, though, for sure, to take prom photos.
All right, let's go to Sarah. How are you doing?
Hey, Jordan. I'm doing okay. It was an interesting winter, but everything's going well, and I'm really excited to see some sun come out this week, and the cherry blossoms are blooming, too. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, the cherry blossoms are gonna be.
Oh,
exciting.
I'm here for a cherry blossom. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, it's like the start. Well, has spring started? Yeah, it's the start of spring. It just.
I think so.
Bring some life into everything. Right, perfect. And yeah, let's check up on Katie. How are you doing?
Hi, Jordan. I'm doing well. Just hanging in there. Only a month left until my summer starts, which is very exciting. And obviously the cherry blossoms are out, so that's very exciting for me. And yeah, I'll just, like, once summer starts for me, I'll start going outside more.
Yeah, especially right now with like school and everything, it seems hectic, but right when summer hits, oh my god, he's got to enjoy it
for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. All right, just want to double check too. Are we all students here? We're all taking classes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. All right, so I guess from there, we'll kind of dive into our topic. So AMS elections. Have you guys been pretty up to date with them, or just kind of, you know, observe from the side, heard like glimpses here and there?
I've definitely gotten a lot of emails, but I can't say I committed to looking into it. Have you looked at it much?
I looked at it a little bit. Like, I voted and everything, so I wanted to be a responsible voter and check up on all the candidates, make a good decision. Yeah. Besides that, I mean, I'm a computer science English student, so I don't really know anything about like student politics besides what they're going to do for the student body and what's attractive to me. So
yeah, that's super relatable. Yeah, I kind of like I also voted and kind of looked briefly over everyone's like position stuff, especially on UBC Reddit. If you guys look at that, it's a pretty interesting place sometimes. But yeah, you know what, I think this AMS election was probably one of the most contested in recent history, at least, because I remember a while back and all the elections would have had like either no people running or only one person. So I thought it was pretty nice that there were a good number of people running for each position this time.
That is nice. And there was also that weird controversy, I think, as well, with someone not being able to... you know about this?
Yeah, like how they weren't allowed to campaign for a couple days.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy because like one of my roommates is pretty good friends with one of the candidates. Wow. Saad. So I kind of heard about it, and yeah, I wasn't very biased. I was like, in the sense that I would like vote for him just because, you know, he's a friend, but I was like kind of like hearing all of the elements of it, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So much action in this election.
There's a lot that happens that we just don't see.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's kind of shocking, and especially that it affects, well, as students, it affects all of us. Like, we're paying AMS fees every year. It's kind of crazy just to think about it. Yeah, but anyway, I'll start by asking if you guys are comfortable with, or did you guys all vote or no?
I didn't. I feel very irresponsible as a student, and but I just was not paying attention to any of that. So sorry about that.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I'm not really, it is a little bit difficult to contribute to these elections and to take them seriously when it doesn't feel like there's ever an outcome from these positions.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, it is definitely even though I did, well, I just basically like, I was like, oh, heck, just like.
I'm not sure if it's maybe that they're not given enough power to change anything, or maybe there's so much bureaucracy even once they're in the position that they can't change much. But anything that's important, like, I mean, mental health, our insurance went up some this year, but a lot of things, tuition, like, it's not like that can be changed at all. So it feels kind of I don't know. What did you like about the candidate you chose, Jordan?
I'm gonna say too, I'm honestly not surprised like you guys didn't vote, because only 17% of the student population did vote. So
That is better than last year. I know last year the percent was somewhere around 6 or 6.5, so I guess they're, because they've been trying to increase that for like years now, maybe even decades, and I think their donation plan kind of worked a little bit.
Yeah, and as well too, like, I don't know if you guys heard about this last year, but during COVID, for president, there was actually only one candidate. So yeah, it was kind of one of those years where I guess everything lined up, people were back on campus, and you know, just there was more energy put into it than
that's
ever
definitely
before.
It you feel like, okay, we're back in action.
Yeah, but yeah, no, hopping onto your point, Sarah, where like you don't feel like they can really do much, that was a big point of this election, I was finding, because a lot of these candidates were like you said, there's a lot of bureaucracy within AMS itself, and that was kind of one of the big plot points for some of the candidates, just trying to like actually make the AMS a student union again, instead of just like a position that our student body pays for, so these guys can just like run block party or something like that. But yeah, it's kind of shocking. As for like why I voted for my candidate, I just kind of, well, who did I vote for? I think I voted for the rat. I'm be honest, I like the rat. The rat was sick. But Yeah, it was just kind of dissecting everyone's platforms. There was some candidates who were had some very realistic goals, had some very like ambitious ones, and some that were just kind of, you know, like missed the mark. But I just kind of like looked through all of them. I was like, what, whose platform really spoke to me as a student that I thought that they could make a difference if they had a platform to do so?
All right, let's take another song break. Here's Shooting Stars by Bag Raiders. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Shooting Stars by Bag Raiders.
Generally, do most of the people, applicants for these positions, are they all from the same sort of political science or business?
Generally speaking, like, yeah, most of those students have some involvement in like international relations, political science. They don't necessarily have to though. I have to look at the platforms, but I think
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the majority of the candidates are in like what you say, international relations or like political science or something like that.
The structure would be quite intimidating for someone, say, in biology or computer science, if you don't know anything about the structure.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard about like the political culture can, I've heard like it can get pretty stressful and a kind of almost like toxic as well. I've heard about like a lot of accusations of like political infighting and things like that. So I can definitely see how it could be like super, you know, like stressful and maybe even harmful for mental health.
Yeah, just being involved in that space.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And yeah, like it's pretty overwhelming for us. Like I probably wouldn't run. It's just
pride up there. Like if I ran for it, I'd be, oh man, I want to say I wouldn't take it personally, but I definitely would if it didn't work out.
Yeah, it's like you put in all that effort to try and like, you know, kind of get your name out there and like stand for something, and it's just like it's there's results that are like determining like how successful you are, and it's like public for everyone to see. Like
totally. Yeah. Oh god, and my mom knows about this. Not popular.
We need your mom's opinion on the AMS elections. I think that's what we need.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there's like a breakdown of all the candidates. There's like some that were just kind of like very much missed the mark, and then just some where I was just like, you know what, you really speak into like the student body, like the rat. Richard was talking about like the UBC Reddit, and the rat kind of took over that because he was like very much for the students. Do you guys know about like the rat?
No, not at all.
Yes, I do. I think that was the only candidate that I knew.
Nice. Well, I guess it kind of started. I don't know if you guys know about this, but kind of started again. I think it was launched by a UBC Reddit post some time ago. They caught it's pretty disgusting. It caught a rat, like a live rat, at Open Kitchen, and the chef guy literally used like a pair of tongs used to like serve food. He like scooped up the rat and then just chucked it in the trash can. It was like so natural. It almost looked like he had done it like 100 times before. So someone somehow videotaped that on Reddit, and then it made the morning news, and that's kind of the origin.
Chaotic. That is so chaotic.
That's UBC for you. Yep. The surprise. And then I remember the AMS Food Service had to make like a statement. They were like, yeah, we safely disposed of the rat. We like cleaned the kitchen and everything. It's like, oh my God. No, you can't kill the rat.
And then
that's our school mascot.
Yeah, and then on UBC Reddit, people started to like keep on memeing the rat. You know, they were calling him Remy from that movie Ratatouille, calling him Remy the Rat, and saying things like rats deserve rights as well, and things, funny mean things. And I guess one of the candidates, I think it was who was the. Oh yeah, it was so one of the candidates, I think the rat was actually represented by a person named Esme Decker, and I guess he wanted to protest kind of the bureaucracy of the AMS essentially, from what I know at least. I think Jordan probably knows a bit more about that though.
Yeah, I put a link in the chat of just like the I don't even know how you say the UBC. I always mess up how you say the
UBC.
Is that what it is?
UBC? I don't know. I just said it differently than you, and that's an alternative option.
I think it's just the UBC.
The UBC.
Katie, okay. Coming.
Oh, in clutch. That makes sense.
Ideas.
See, that's what I thought, but I'm like, I don't know. I thought there was more of a pun like later than that. I don't know.
For sure.
I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, with the rat, so, it was like started as kind of like just like a joke candidate because, you know, just he's the open kitchen rat, and you know, Ratatouille is just it's just funny. But yeah, his whole platform was kind of just like addressing the bureaucracy of the AMS, because like both candidates who were up, the two main candidates were what's her name, Ashana, and then Saad, and they were both actually in the AMS before within some VP role. And there's a lot of disdain in the community just for how AMS is run. Just, it's very bureaucratic. It's just kind of people trying to pad their resumes, and it's not really treated like a student union. It's just, you know, it's not really helping anyone. Like you were saying, Sarah, it doesn't feel like they're really doing anything. So it was kind of just, you know, a way for someone to speak for the students in a way. And yeah, looking even at the results, it was like relatively successful considering he was kind of a joke candidate, but at the same time, like pretty well grounded in what he believed in.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like I'm a graduate student, and we have the Graduate Student Society as like our main, like kind of who puts on a lot of events and things for graduate students. And there's also graduate student elections, but that also is really difficult position. Like you per department, there is an individual that's chosen as like the graduate student representative. They're either voted in, but so infrequently do people want to be in that position that they're ever voted in. It's just whoever will do the job. Because you have these like 4 or 5 hour long meetings, and you need a certain amount of people to attend the meetings so that you can even go on to discuss the issues that can then be voted on. So it is like, it's just, I think it becomes such a pain that anyone that is interested in changing things has to undergo that sort of, like, they have to sit there and be in
that tedious process.
Tedious. That's a good point. Yes. So, I always thought, oh, maybe be interested to get into it, but obviously I don't have the commitment for that, I think. So I'm glad some people do, and that they really put in effort, because I know for the graduate student representatives, that's a big time commitment.
Yeah, like it's kind of crazy. Like I'm not sure how much these, well, the difference, because I know with the AMS, at least like these reps get paid some a bit, but they have to do a lot. And something for like your grad, what do you say, like a kind of the grad student union, like, yeah, a lot of people don't want to do it because it's so much work, or there's just people that will do it because it pads their resume and they're not going to put in too much effort. So it's like a catch 22. You're not really, it's very rare you're going to get someone who's very committed to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that's probably the central issue. It kind of creates a like kind of a unfortunate loop, right? You know, like takes too much time, then people don't want to or can't commit enough time to that, and then the voters feel like they're not doing anything, so they also don't care, and you know, the candidates care even less, and it's just an unfortunate loop. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's well said, unfortunate. Besides that, let's go into the kind of the results. Do you guys know, or I put it in the chat as well, like kind of the results and the breakdown of it. Yeah, it kind of like goes into what we were saying, but as well, it shows just kind of who won. And I thought it'd be interesting just coming at it from an accessibility standpoint, if we can kind of take a look at the candidates' profiles and see what they're doing, specifically how they're addressing accessibility issues. So let's see. For president, we have Ashana Bangu. I think that's how you say her name. But yeah, I did take a look at her profile. She had a site for her campaign, and she did actually have some some parts of her platform to address accessibility, and I was pretty impressed. Looking at the others, they kind of glanced over it, but she had kind of some specific plans towards it. Just find it real quick. So you find the rats. I was kind of curious. I couldn't find the rats off like a first glance, but I was wondering if he was addressing anything with accessibility.
I found something about they had actually AMS elections on early March. They had a forum basically where they where a bunch of candidates actually talked about how they would deal with the rising issue of mental health. So let me take a look. So Ashauna said that she'd create a pilot mental wellness project and also advocate for more funding to similar programs for other equity deserving groups. And she also said that she'd work to increase the AMS mental health coverage from our insurance thing from 1,000 to 1,250. And in terms of the RAT, he said that he'd promote resources and clubs that focus on mental health. But, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That definitely is a pretty unique move as well. I don't think we've had. I know I've seen a bunch of pictures of like super inaccessible places. So I think that's something we probably do in fact need to take a review at.
Yeah, it's definitely important. And until she said that, it kind of like. Shocks. It's kind of shocking to know that the school doesn't have anything like that already.
Yeah, honestly, it is.
Yeah. Which, yeah, since she's been in an AMS role for a while, I'm just hoping she kind of keeps her promises. Because,
yeah, I do hope so as well. I think she did. I think she was one of the more active. I think she was VP academic for this, and I think she was doing a fair bit of work. I remember when the AMS gave out all those N95 masks in the nest. I really appreciated that for sure.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think they're still doing that. I always go in the nest, and they're just on a table.
Yeah, super nice.
Yeah, but no, like these are. Like very promising things, especially in like the realm of accessibility. I hope it can get done.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll definitely see very soon.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna take a little song break first. The song I got here is Iced Tea by Joyce Rice and Cage Renata.
See the skin glow.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. That was Ice Tea by Joyce Rice and Kay Trinata. For those who don't know, Kay Trinata is a Haitian-Canadian producer and DJ currently living in Montreal. He's produced for a variety of big names like Kali Uchis, Chance the Rapper, and even Anderson .Paak. If you ever get the chance to listen to this man play, I would definitely recommend it. Joyce Rice is an upcoming artist within the R&B scene coming from LA. Within her latest album, Overgrown, Rice brings us back to that early 2000s R&B style with a fresh flavor. If you're looking for someone to scratch that itch, I would also recommend you check her out as well. All right, I'm back here with Richard and Sarah. Katie had to go, so we'll catch her next episode. But now we're going to jump back in and just talk about the elections a little more, but from the other side. So one thing we were I heard from both of you earlier was kind of your how students view the AMS, that it's kind of a bureaucratic institution that not a lot of people have faith in actually get too much done because they just can't as a student union. Looking at some of the candidates, were there any that had some pretty unrealistic expectations that, you know, just kind of threw off their chances, in your opinion?
Every year there's always a bunch of candidates that also throw out some quite unrealistic
expectations.
Unrealistic claims.
Like, what do you think that would be?
Oh, in terms of unrealistic claims?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that there's big controversy about this, but like talking about things that they basically don't even have the power to change. For example, like remember one candidate was talking about like lowering the cost of meal plans and stuff, which is, you know, obviously extraordinarily high, but they just don't have the power to change that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially financial stuff, yeah. Like anything to do with money, reducing the cost of like gyms or anything like that, it's probably just so tightly ingrained in the actual institution.
Yeah, exactly. Especially these financial things. It's really unrealistic to be able to fix that, even if they need fixing. So I think when candidates make claims like that and it's impossible to follow up on, I think a lot of voters or students kind of feel cheated. So that might be one reason for kind of the resentment of the AMS. That's what I was thinking, at least.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with just, it's kind of like an empty promise. Like, you know, they can't do it. So why are they like, you know, getting your hopes up? I would ask, though, for candidates that are saying that they would advocate for it rather than kind of tell you straight up that they can do this for you, do you appreciate it more that they even try, even if it might be like kind of out of scope of what the AMS can do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd definitely appreciate it a lot more because I personally think like if they can like understand that it's like they can't change it directly, but if they can understand that, oh, maybe I could influence this aspect without needing to change it directly, I think that shows a lot of like really great thinking and almost maturity almost. Like you're not making any empty promises and you're really just still indicating that you really want to support the students with an initiative like that. So yeah, I would definitely appreciate that a lot more.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's well said. Sorry.
I feel like a cool initiative would be something if there could be something that could support students and give them a little leeway for failure. I mean, especially in these last couple of years, there's never space for anyone to fail, whether it's with some sort of mental health issue that like kind of hasn't been necessarily given a title, or whether it's just maybe home issues or health issues that somehow lead to just like a really poor grade that leads to some issue down the line with their degree. Like there seems to be no forgiveness towards students. And I wonder if there would be any way to make that an initiative, but I'm not sure if that would be possible because grades and competitiveness down the road and everything like that.
Yeah, like a more lenient kind of accommodation policy. Yeah, UBC's relentless with grades already, but especially like any student during COVID going through any issue, some courses, some professors kind of gave students a little leeway, but there's not really a global policy saying, okay, during this time, we want to account for a student going through some mental health issues. We can help them out. It's also a struggle for students to even go and try and figure that out in the first place. So,
Yeah, exactly. There's no help for people that are stuck. And it's not just UBC, it's other institutions where,
yeah.
once you're stuck, you're even more stuck. But it would be nice since these are oftentimes, full adults that have been working in this like environment for years and years and years. And they don't seem to care that this is obviously an overall issue for most students. And maybe someone in the student initiative at some point could say, like, maybe this is a really major thing to just not praise the people getting 100% all the time, but to give a little bit of care to people that can't. But again, I don't think that's the way UBC likes it.
Yeah, that's kind of like it's a hard situation because I definitely feel a lot of the candidates definitely care about that. And even going to how the AMS has been treating that, they have advocated for like when we go back to a COVID lockdown to get classes back online or to do exams online. So I can feel in most of the candidates that they try their best, but it's like we were saying, it just feels like they really, as a student union, they can't really do anything.
For sure.
They were pretty successful during the COVID times. I will give them that. They actually the AMS actually successfully advocated for the extension of the withdraw deadline in the in the height of COVID with our the switching to credit defail
Yeah.
for that. So that was I would say one of the bigger successes that they've made in terms of that. I definitely really appreciated that too, because it took a lot of stress off, when you, yeah.
Just in case, just in
Yeah.
case, like, it's nice to know it's there. You're right, Richard. I didn't even point that out. That is a great option.
Yeah. No, it's definitely that is, yeah. From what they could do, it's kind of amazing that they even like were able to do that. But yeah, it's kind of crazy just trying to ponder what more they could do and then balance it with what like they legitimately can achieve.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they definitely need to like I would say do more advocacy instead of like s just saying that they'll do this, because they can clearly have a like just exactly like what Sarah said. This situation is like more like because the AMS can't directly change the grading policies of UBC, right? But in this case, they advocated for that change instead of like directly trying to do that, and it worked. So yeah, I'm all in for like in more advocacy, but unfortunately, I think in like the political world, a lot of the candidates might think, oh, I think advocating might not be as strong of a point as like, oh, I can do this directly. So yeah.
Yeah, like this isn't necessarily in the same realm of just kind of mental health and COVID, but one of the things, like for the candidate Saad, I don't know, I was like a little kind of iffy on him just because one of his big points was that he's advocating for SkyTrain to UBC. And on a first glance, it felt like he was kind of just promising that we can get a SkyTrain to UBC. Didn't really make too much sense to me, but it looks like he's been lobbying for it alongside a bunch of other kind of executives within the school. But it's just, yeah, like you were saying, there's that balance between kind of advocating for something versus blatantly promising it. And I don't know, it's from the AMS's perspective, there's only so much they can do.
For sure. That's actually a really good point, Jordan. There are people doing that. But like you said, Richard, and you put it quite well, like it must be the fact that it's not as obvious, and so you can't put it as a point to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, that's very, very well said from both of you as well. Okay. Let's see. Well, I think that was most of the stuff we had for the show. I think we'll go to a little song break first, and then we'll just come back and regroup. Sarah, you want to take it away with the song break?
Next up is the song In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
So you couldn't wait.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. That was In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. Phil Collins is a celebrated British drummer and musician. He was a former member of the famous band Genesis. In April 2009, Phil Collins had a reparation on his dislocated vertebrae in his upper neck, which occurred while drumming for Genesis. He lost feelings in his fingers. He could play the drums only when the drumsticks were taped to his hand. This was devastating for Collins, but in his life, he has overcome several other health issues and remains one of the most successful British artists of his time.
So that pretty much wraps up our discussion on the AMS elections for now. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we go?
We love politicians that love diversity. So if you're going into politics, think about accessibility too.
All right, everyone. That was a great discussion. I had a great time. So that was today's episode of All Access Pass.
If you are interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram, please follow us at access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going to the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
Take care and stay safe. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca. Won't wait till tomorrow.
this life. Won't wait till tomorrow. We think that time is ours, but it's just been borrowed. This life won't wait till tomorrow. We think that time is ours, but it's just been borrowed.
This is Hazy. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting Vancouver's haziest since 1950.
I said I wanted to change, but I never really wanted to change. I had some intentions. Intentions were disguises under cover indiscretions. We were breathing the same. That was before you shaved your lion's mane. I'm going to bed. I've had enough of feeling free. Forget everything that I've said. I only left to your name. We can stand in the crowd, not really understanding what our living is about, while a panel discusses fleshing out extensive lists of the many